My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madri Channel, mashallah, welcome back to the silsila, the blessings of Sahaba and the blessings of Ahle Bayt. Yesterday, alhamdulillah, we started being the first of Muharram. We discussed the great companion of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu. And the reason talked about that particular topic yesterday was that was the day that Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu was passed from this world into the eternal glory. And so we discussed that today. Today we're actually going to discuss a topic which is, you know, what are the excellences of the Ahle Bayt? What are the qualities of the Ahle Bayt? Who are the Ahle Bayt? Because maybe a lot of the people out there are saying, yeah, I know who the Ahle Bayt are. I know what that means. But at the same time, and I will speak from personal experience, that there was a time in my life before I came into the world of Dawat Islami that I didn't know these basic terminology. I didn't know what these basic things meant. So there are people probably seeing at the bottom of the screen now, Sahaba, Ahle Bayt, and thinking, who are these things? What are these things? Are they places? Are they people? What are they? Are they people's names? So inshallah, Azawajal, we're going to tell you who the Ahle Bayt are, and then we're going to talk to you about the excellences of Ahle Bayt. And to my understanding, Ustaz, the meaning of Ahle Bayt is the family, the house. You know, it means the people of the house, or the family of the house is the literal meaning of the word. Mm-hmm. But in Islamically, you're inshallah going to elaborate on Islamically what the word Ahle Bayt means, the family of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who are they specifically, or is it such a huge family, or are we talking about specific people here?
Subhanallah, both.
Mashallah.
Both. In the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa taala tells us in this is chapter 33 and verse 33 as well. So easy, that's I remember.
Subhanallah.
Allah subhanahu wa taala says that indeed Allah subhanahu wa taala intends to rid you, meaning the Ahle Bayt, to rid the Ahle Bayt from every type of impurity.
Subhanallah.
Every type of defect. The ulama, they say about this word rid, that it actually means impurity. But what does it mean by impurity? It refers to every type of defect. Everything which is not deserving to be linked to them, and including a sin. Every type of sin. And that he may purify you. That he may make you pure.
Subhanallah.
Now, the hadith I have in front of me is mentioned in many books. Many books. It said that أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ جَاءَ وَمَعَهُ عَلِيٌّ وَفَاطِمَةُ وَحَسَنٌ وَحُسَيْنٌ, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم once came, along with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, this is Hazrat Ali رضي الله عنه, Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra رضي الله عنها, Hazrat Imam Hassan رضي الله عنه, Hazrat Imam Hussein رضي الله عنه, قد أخذ كل واحد منهما بيدين حتى دخل فأدنى عليا وفاطمة وأجلسهما بين يديه, and he brought them all with him. He was walking with them all. And then when he entered, Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra, they also entered after them. The Prophet ﷺ sat them down in front of him. وأجلس حسنا وحسينا كل واحد على فخذه, and then he sat Hazrat Imam Hassan رضي الله عنه and Imam Hussein on his blessed lap.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
ثم لف عليهم كساء, and then he covered them with a cloth, with a shawl. ثم تلا هذه الآية, and then he read this ayah. And then what did he say? That after reading this ayah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to purify you, the Ahlul Bayt, to purify my family, he says, اللهم هؤلاء أهل بيتي, that, oh Allah, this is my Ahle Bayt. Oh Allah, this is my Ahle Bayt. فَأَذْهِبْ عَنْهُمَ الرِّجْسَةَ وَتَهِّرْهُمْ تَظْهِيرًا.
Subhanallah.
So, rid them of every type of impurity, every type of defect, and purify them. From this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, we learn that the Ahle Bayt is, when the Prophet ﷺ, when Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra رضي الله عنها, Hazrat Ali al-Murtada radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Imam Hassan radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. Now, there are also other hadith in which, in fact, this continues as well. Qalat Umm Salama, so Hazrat Umm Salama radiallahu anha, she says, فَرَفَعْتُ الْكَسَىٰ لَأَدْخُلَ مَعَهُمْ فَجَذَبَهُ مِنْ يَدِي. She says that then I took hold of this shawl and I raised it and I put my head through. And I said that, Ya Rasulullah, وَأَنَا مَعَكُمْ. She said, أَنَا مَعَكُمْ, Ya Rasulullah, I am also with you, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, إِنَّكِ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِ النَّبِيَ عَلَىٰ
أَخِيرٍ.
That indeed, you are from the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is fortune for you. So from this, we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sometimes gave precedence to the Ahli Bayt themselves or the Panjtan Pak, who we told. Panjtan is five. So some say these are the Ahli Bayt, but others say this always also do the Azwaj Mutahharat. They are also part of the Ahli Bayt.
That's how our Aqidah Ahli Sunnah is. They are part of that.
And in terms of Ali Muhammad, it's mentioned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once asked, Man aluk ya Rasulullah, that who is your al, who is your family? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, kullu mu'minin taqiyyin, every God fearing mu'min.
Subhanallah.
Every person who fears God, he is
subhanallah.
But you know, again in this particular waqia that you mentioned with the Panjtan Park, in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called them and sat them, there's a lot of people nowadays, you know, I sometimes see the beautiful hikmat and the wisdom in the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that, you know, when his blessed wife came, the mother of the believers came, and she said that you are fortunate, you are, you know, sometimes I look at it, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, that everybody knows that your wife is part of your family. Yeah? That's a fact. Yeah. But what the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, he kind of removed, I don't know, a taboo or a custom or a cultural thing where a lot of people think that the daughter is not part of the family. Yeah. Once the daughter gets married, she's not part of the family. What the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing here, that your daughter is still part of your family. You know, by covering them and bringing them and giving them the respect and giving them the honor.
This is one of the specialities, you know, of Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. That everybody's nasl, and inshallah we'll speak a bit more about this as we go on, that everybody's nasl, it goes from who? Father to son, son through son. But the speciality of Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha is that the nasl of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't go to any son, it goes through Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. And this is one of the specialities, and inshallah when we talk about Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra, inshallah we're going to speak one day about her, inshallah we'll speak about this in detail. There's so many beautiful points there, inshallah, and to ruin it, you can say.
Ji Afisab, mashallah, we've been enlightened today so far with the excellence of the Ahlul Bayt, and I think, you know, the viewers of Mother Channel here can, you know, we've clarified what the meaning of the Ahlul Bayt is and what Islamically the meaning of Ahlul Bayt is. And we've also heard this beautiful waqia in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called his family to him, called his blessed daughter, his blessed son-in-law, and called his blessed grandchildren towards him and sat them close to him, covered them with the shawl and read out this ayat that we mentioned early on, and then said, and then did a dua, Ya Allah, you know, Allah, these are my Ahlul Bayt, distanced them from impurity and purified them. So these are the people that I think we're specifically talking about today, and the blessings and the attributes of the Ahlul Bayt.
One thing, Harith Bey, I just want to mention that we don't want to leave a confusion in the Islam brothers' minds. The Ahlul Bayt, Amir al-Sunnah was asked this question in the Madinah Muzakara, and he says, all the Sayyid, the Sadat al-Kiram, are part of the Ahlul Bayt. The Azwaj, the wives of the Prophet ﷺ are part of the Ahlul Bayt. And so are Hassan, Hussein, and Sayyida Fatima, and Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, MashaAllah, Azza wa Jal, beautifully explained.
I've read that, you know, here, it says here that it's been narrated by Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik in a hadith that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to the masjid, after this ayat was revealed, when he was going towards the masjid, he would give salam o Ahlul Bayt, and he would recite this ayat from the Quran.
When the Prophet ﷺ would do not like, Alhamdulillah, when we go out and we call people to go to the masjid for namaz time. So when the Prophet ﷺ would go for Fajr namaz in the morning, or when he would go past the houses, you see, during them days, the house of the Prophet ﷺ was, you could say, immediately next door to the masjid.
Subhanallah.
And so were the other houses. So the Prophet ﷺ would sometimes go around and also call people towards the masjid. And when they used to go by the house of the Fatima al-Zahra, radiallahu anha, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say, "Assalamu alaikum ahl al-bayt wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." That, "O ahl al-bayt, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi." He would give salam to them and then he would call them to the masjid.
Subhanallah.
Like this, there are many more ahadith in which other people are also included in the ahl al-bayt. Many people are included. Like Hafiz Sahib said, so the ahl al-bayt is not restricted to these five people. It is not restricted, although these five people are the beacons of the Ahl al-Bayt. These five are, you could say, the elite of the Ahl al-Bayt. They also include the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and up until now the nasl of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
There are some scholars who believe it's the immediate family and some scholars that believe it's the mothers of the believers.
The jumhur.
But the jumhur,
jumhur means the overall consensus, or according to most scholars. According to most scholars, it includes both the five individuals and also the wives of the Prophet
subhanallah
and the nasl of Hazrat Fatima az-Zahra.
And I think this is very important, you know, especially for our younger viewers, you know, those who are growing up. We need to know who the family is. Sadly, you know, we know the families of other, you know, so-called superstars in the world. Allah, but when it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's family, we don't even know who they are.
We follow them on Facebook. We follow them on Twitter.
There's a lot of social media on that.
You can sit down with a youngster and ask him everything about a certain footballer. He will know how much money he's making. He will know how many houses he's got, how many cars he's got, where he lives, which football team he's playing for, what his transfer fees was. He'll know his full history.
And you know what, Harris?
But you ask him where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is resting. You know, what is the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Can you name, you know, never mind name the Al-Ibad, name 10 companions of the Prophet, name 10 prophets, and they'll struggle.
You know, here in Bradford, once we went around giving Dawud, and one brother asked somebody, he says, "Do you know where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born?" That person replied, "Pakistan."
He wasn't far off, was he? But that's the truth.
But that's true. I mean,
the thing is, the thing is, whose fault is it though?
Yes.
You know, there is a blessed hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mafhum is that, teach your children three things. You know, teach them the Quran, teach them the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also teach them the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's family. And there is another beautiful hadith in which has been quoted, and it says that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam has said that whoever loves Allah, he will love me. Whoever loves me will love my companions and my family as well. So, you know, can you see that chain that goes? So if we say that we love Allah Ta'ala, and every Muslim, you know, I don't deny anyone, we all love Allah Ta'ala. But, you know, at the end, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he says that he will love my companions and my Ahlul Bayt. So we need to know who the Ahlul Bayt are, who the companions are as well.
It's because, you know, you see it in houses that, you know, when people go for the shopping at the grocery stores, they'll pick up magazines for the children. They'll pick up books for the children. And these books will tell them stories, whereas what we should be doing is we should be finding them books. Because a child there, any child, he wants something, doesn't he? He wants knowledge. And the problem is, like you said earlier, it's our problem. What is the input? You know, they were talking on the, Amir Sina talks about these Madani computers. You know, Amir Sina says, you know, what comes out of the computer is what's been put in the computer.
Yeah.
And this is so true that with our children, what do we put out in them is what's going to come out with
and
them.
Now the opportunity. You know, we've got the blessed month of Muharram. Sit down, talk to your family about, you know, especially the children, mention to them. Have a little quiz at home.
But unfortunately, you know, you say have a quiz, who's going to ask the questions? To ask a question, you're going to have knowledge.
Indeed.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, putting our kids to one side, which are chote bachin, unfortunately, many of our elders don't have this knowledge as well.
You know, sometimes it's rather, I have a student. He's probably 10, 11, 12 years old, somewhere around or there. And I didn't know him because he, do you know the way he speaks? When I first heard him speak, he speaks like a cartoon character. Really, he does. I was actually amazed. I was thinking, is he pretending? Is this just him messing about? But then I realized this, how he actually speaks. He speaks like a cartoon character. And I found out about him a little bit, and he said that he watches TV, and at the same time, he watches his iPad.
Allah.
At the same time, he watches both. He's never, until now, seen on the inside of a masjid.
Allah.
He's a Muslim. Never until now has he seen the inside of a masjid. And alhamdulillah, today he finished the first page of the Qaeda.
Subhanallah.
So alhamdulillah, I gave him a gift of Allah. But today that made my day, alhamdulillah.
But it gives you a realization. You know, like that, this is why right at the beginning of the program we tried to talk about the basic terminology that people understand, because there may be a lot of people out there thinking, well, no, it's not like that. Unfortunately, it is. My dear Islam brothers, views of Madhi Shalom. Unfortunately, this is a grim reality that there are so many people out there. You know, when we went on Madhi Dora, we've talked to people, we've met people who, you know, we've called back to the masjid with us. And, you know, they were with us when we called one place back. And he read his salah with us. And afterwards, he said, look, brother, I copied the actions. And I didn't know what I was doing. And I looked at him. And I didn't want to look at him in a way that made him feel down. But I was shocked because he was close to 30 years old. He wasn't a kid, right? And so then we said, okay, I said, have you forgot? He said, yeah, I did learn when I was a child, but I forgot. So we said, okay. So we opened, sat him down with Mubalik Abdul Islam. He sat him down with a book and he looked at it and he says, I can't read it. I forgot how to read Arabic. I forgot how to read it. So, you know, unfortunately, there are those children who learn and there are those children who don't learn, but there's a lot of people as well that once they go further on their life, they forget as well.
You know, to love someone, because here we're talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that you must love my family. So to love someone, you've got to know about them as well. And you know, if you don't know about them, how are you going to love them?
It's having that connection, having that nisbat, having that connection with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, yesterday we were talking about Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, and at the end we realized that we had so much that we wanted to give, we had so much that we wanted to talk about. Because, you know, there is so much out there, but unfortunately time did not allow us. And it's the same that, you know, we don't have that basics. We don't have that knowledge about the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't have that knowledge about the companions. We don't know about, you know, the person who is, you know, the greatest creation, and we don't know anything about him. And isn't that a sad reality that we call ourselves Muslims, yet we know more about football players and cricket players than we know about the blessed Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
People might be thinking that, you know, is it something that, you know, we all have to know? And because it's the Ahlul Bayt are mentioned in the Quran, you know, to love the Ahlul Bayt, you know, some scholars like Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala has said that it is farz that you love the Ahlul Bayt because it's mentioned in the Quran. And I've got the poem that Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi ta'ala he read. He says, O Ahlul Bayt, to love you is farz upon us because you have been mentioned in the Quran.
Subhanallah.
You know, so again, if something has been mentioned in the Quran, and as Muslims, you know, we need to teach our children how important this is, because as time is moving by, you know, if I am the father or the mother who is listening and we don't know the Ahlul Bayt, who they are, how are we, you know, expect our children to love the Ahlul Bayt because they don't know who they are?
I was thinking as well, you know, Hafsab, the tradition of Naat, yeah, of the Naat, and I was thinking that, you know, a lot of people teach their children Naat at a young age.
Yeah.
And at that young age, you know, because, you know, the Naat, the standard of Urdu or the language that's being used is quite hard to understand.
Mm-hmm.
But the child, he learns it,
mm-hmm,
almost like parrot fashion. He might not fully understand what he's reciting.
Mm-hmm.
But this tradition of even passing on Naat is a way of instilling the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their lives, that they recite it, they feel an affection towards it, they feel closeness towards it, and slowly, 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 as they get older, they understand it more and more, and as they understand it more and more, it brings the love closer towards them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, looking at these sort of things, these are the ways. Whereas, unfortunately, what do we teach our children? You know, our children can, I don't even know what things other than Naat our children do on a day-to-day basis. What programs they are watching, what things they are singing, what they are saying, the language that they are using. And then we are shocked when, you know, when they don't know anything about
it. I think for that, inshallah, Azawajal, our Darul Madina Majlis, Allah Ta'ala give them blessings. If they can, mashallah, Azawajal, you know, like I said, I've got a feedback, you know, from Darul Madina, Radram, just to open up. And the brother was saying, mashallah, parents are giving feedback that their children are going home, giving salam, reading the Naat. So I think from a young age,
yes,
you know, if we can, you know, when that goes further, inshallah, azawajal, hopefully we won't have a problem.
This is, just to go back to what Hafsab said then again, I don't know why today I just seem to be explaining all basic terminologies. But Darul Madina is our, Darul Islam is the Islamic schooling system, alhamdulillah, and within the UK now we've got 3 or 4 branches. We're starting at the nursery level and gradually bringing them up. A lot of people are saying that, you know, you should start at the high school, you should open the high schools, but we've made a decision that we're going to start at the younger level. There are instances around the country where we are thinking about opening high schools as well. But the reason why we decided to start right at the beginning, right at the nursery level, is when we went around the country and we went to other places where there are certain establishments that are, could be classed as Islamic schools, and we spoke to those people involved, and they said to us that, you know, brother, 11's too late. I went to one Sunni, he started a school on his own about, and he said to me, by the age of 11, it's too late. You know, and he said one sentence to me, and I'll never forget it, and I couldn't question him after that. He said, brother, by the age of 11, then children have done things that me and you can never even think about, or they've done things that me and you have never done for another 20 years after that.
Allahu Akbar.
And I couldn't ask any more than that, Hafiz Sahab. I went quiet. I mean, it was shtum. That was the end of my conversation. I thought, look, I'm not going to, you know, dig into this. But that was enough for us. And unfortunately, this is the situation. So alhamdulillah, you know, Darul Madinah, we started it in the UK now. We are looking for people to come forward. And if you feel that in your area there is the demand for Darul Madinah, I believe there's a demand everywhere. Having the people that can run it, you know, a lot of people want things, yeah, but aren't willing to sacrifice anything. You know, I want £1 million, but I don't want to work for it. Yeah. I want to have a nice car, but I don't want to work for it. To achieve something, you have to give a better sacrifice. So if you want, you know, to have these things, then you have to come forward, yeah. Be part of the Mahal of Dawud, be part of the team of Dawud, then inshaAllah, you know, I firmly believe that the future is green and that time will come where we'll have children not only graduating from our nurseries, our primary schools, our high schools, our colleges, our universities as well. And that's the ultimate aim of Dawud, that within the Darul Madinah schooling system, that our children will also not only become good degree holders and good ALOs, but also they become Ali Madin as well, inshallah, and Hifz al-Quran as well. Inshallah. So that's the niyat and that's the intention, and I pray for Allah that we can all join on this beautiful Madani train to achieve this destination, inshallah. Back to the topic, I use this opportunity to advertise Darul Madinah. But back to the topic, the blessings of Ahlul Bayt.
Yeah, I'd like to talk again, go back to the point of the nisbah to the Prophet and talk about the Ahlul Bayt from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's mentioned in this hadith narrated by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah khalaq al khalqa. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the whole of the creation. Fakhtara minhum bani Adam. And from the creation he took out the children of Adam alayhi salam, and from them he chose min bani Adam al Arab. From amongst the children of Adam alayhi salam, he chose the Arabs.
Subhanallah.
Thumma akhtara min al-Arabi Mudar. And then from amongst the Arabs, he chose the tribe of Mudar, which is because a earlier tribe. Thumma akhtara min Mudar Quraysh. And then from the tribe of Mudar, he chose the tribe of Quraysh. Thumma akhtara min Quraysh bini Hashim. And then from the Quraysh, he chose the bini Hashim. Thumma akhtara ni min bini Hashim. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose me from the Banu Hashim. Falam azal khiyaran min khiyar. I will never cease to be the greatest, to be the chosen one or the best one of them. So this is who they are associated to. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about whom Imam Razi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, also Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What do they say about the fazail of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Subhanallah, is beautiful. All the fazail of all of the prophets and messengers, if they were all to be given or to be brought into one man, into one entity, into one body, and it was to be weighed or compared to the fazail of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the fazail of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would outweigh that.
Subhanallah, without doubt.
Continues with many more ahadith in which it is mentioned that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, what does he say? He says, Qala li Jibreel. The Prophet ﷺ says, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, this Hazrat Aisha as-Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha narrates this hadith. She says that the Prophet ﷺ said to me, the Prophet ﷺ says, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam said to me, Qalabtu mashariq al-ardi wa magharibaha, that I had overturned the east and the west of the earth, the east and the west of the all of the lands. فَلَمْ أَجِدْ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَسَلَّمْ. And I did not find anybody better than Muhammad صلى الله تعالى وسلم. وَقَلَبْتُ مَشَارِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبٍ. And again, I roamed the east and the west, meaning the whole earth, and I overturned it. فَلَمْ أَجِدْ بَنِي أَبٍ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ بَنِي هَاشِمٍ. I did not find any people better than the people of Bani Hashim. Similarly, there's many more hadith mentioning this, but there's other khasais of the Ahlul Bayt I would like to mention. One is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that on the Day of Judgment, if a person wishes for me to be of some sort of help, for me to intercede for him, then he must be kind to the Ahlul Bayt. Now, some of us may be thinking that, how are we meant to do that? Gee, the Ahlul Bayt, you know, they've gone 1400 years ago, that's it, they've gone. But no, as Hafiz Rafaqat Sahib told us, the Ahlul Bayt are here today.
Yes.
Who are the Ahlul Bayt? Those who attribute themselves, those the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who do exist until today. is mentioned about these people, subhanAllah, that yes, we must show them respect. What does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He says, أَوَّلُ مَنْ أَشْفَعُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ أُمَّتِي أَهْلَ بَيْتِ. That the first people I shall do shafa'at for, I shall intercede for, on the Day of Judgment, shall be the Ahl Bayt. ثُمَّ الْأَقْرَبْ فَالْأَقْرَبْ مِنْ قُرَيْشِ. And then those who are closer to the Ahl Bayt, like the people of the Quraysh, ثُمَّ الْأَنصَار, then the Ansar. The Ansar are the helpers, those companions who were in Madinat al-Munawwara. ثُمَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِي وَاتَّبِعْنِي. And also those who believe in me, وَاتَّبَعْنِي, and also follow me, من اليمن, from Yemen, ثُمَّ سَائِرِ الْعَرَبْ, and then all of the Arabs, ثُمَّ الْعَاجِمْ, and then all of the non-Arabs, وَمَنْ أَشْفَعُ لَهُ أَوَّلًا أَفْضَلًا. But the ones who I intercede for first, they are the greatest of them.
It's a very beautiful kalam written by the brother of Allah, Hazrat Imam Ahl Sunnah radhiyallahu anhu, Mawlana Hassan Raza Khan rahmatullahi ta'ala. I'm going to read the poems because I want to explain them in English as well, because what will happen is we'll read the kalam, but people, especially our younger viewers, won't understand. So I'm going to read the kalam not in tarz form. There are many reasons for that, but I'm going to read the poem inshallah. He writes, Baghe Jannat ke hain behre madha khane ahle bait, tum ko mujda nar ke ae dushmanane ahle bait. Yani, for those people who love the Ahle Bayt, who talk about the Ahle Bayt, there is the Garden of Paradise. And those who have enmity, hatred, and are the enemies of the Ahle Bayt, then you have the fire of hell. Unke ghar to be ijazat Jibril aate nahi, qadr wale jante hain qadr o shaan e Ahle Bayt. That even Jibril alayhi salatu wa salam does not enter their homes without permission. And in the next poem he says, unki paaki ka khudae paak karta hai bayan, Ayat Tathir se zahir hai shan e ahle bayt. And that is Ayat Tathir that we mentioned in the Quran Shabbat, we read, innama yuridullahu liyudhiba ankum urrijisa ahle albayt wa yutahirakum tathira. That the purity of the ahle bayt is mentioned in the Holy Quran. And
Allah,
mashallah, is a very beautiful poem.
You mentioned some Urdu ones, and there's some similar things to some poetry I was reading in Arabic.
Mashallah.
So I'd also like to read that poetry in Arabic. Ala Taha ya ala khair nabi jaddukum khiyaratun wa antum khiyar. He says that Ali Taha, I mean the family of Taha, the Taha referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya ala khair nabi, O family of the greatest of prophets sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jaddukum khiyaratun, your grandfather, referring to the Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, your grandfather was the greatest of people, wa antum khiyar, you are also the greatest. أذهب الله عنكم الرجس. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cleansed you or has rid any impurity from you. قِدْمًا, so long before أهل البيت or people of the house. فأنتم الأزهار, so you are the embodiment of purity. لَمْ يَسَلْ جَدُّكُمْ عَلَى الدِّينِ أَجْرًا. That your grandfather, he didn't ask for this deen, you know, this deen that he brought, this work that he did, he didn't ask any reward for it.
Allah.
The Prophet gave everything, he didn't ask anything in return.
Subhanallah.
Ghayra, except wuddil qurba wa ni'ma al ijar, except for the love of his family. The Prophet asked for nothing. He says that the Prophet did not ask anything except for the love of his family. And then he says, wa ni'ma al ijar. And what a beautiful reward he asked for at all things.
The Arabic poetry that you mentioned, mm-hmm. and when you were translating it, it reminded me of actually a hadith. There's a Tabrani Sharif hadith, and you're probably more aware of it than myself, in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that none of you can be a true believer until I become more beloved to him than himself. My progeny becomes more beloved to him than his own offspring. My family is more beloved to him than his own family. And my personality is more beloved to him than his own personality. And in another hadith, Sayyidina Abu Dharr, when he was holding the door of the Kaaba, and he said that he heard the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that, Lo, my Ahle Bayt amongst you is like the ark of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam. Whoever rode on it was preserved, and whoever lingered was destroyed.
Mashallah.
And from this you can understand the status of the Ahle Bayt. Fortunately, nowadays we meet people who are sayyids, and we treat them no better or no worse than anybody else. In some cases we treat them worse because we have doubts about them. The shaitanic whispers that said, oh, he's just making it up, he's not really like that. You know, and so, you know, this again is something that we are really falling away, that we need to have that respect. know about the Ahlul Bayt, know the status amongst the Ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we know that status, then inshallah we can respect them and give them the love.
No, and especially if there's anyone out there who has friends who are Sayyid, you know, make sure that, you know, they are your best friends and you take care of them. You know, it doesn't always mean that you've got to treat them, bark enough as you take away and all that. That doesn't mean that. Show more respect than other people so that people get to know who the Sayyids are and what their respect is.
One of the specialties of the Ahl Bayt is that if we do something for the Ahl Bayt, the reward of that will be given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith, hadith is this. And this is mentioned by Hazrat Saban, on the third Hazrat Saban, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that if anybody does anything good for the Sayyids, if they do anything for the Sayyids, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself will reward them on the Day of Judgment.
Subhanallah.
لِقَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if anybody wishes that I be a intercessor for them on the Day of Judgment, then they should be kind to the Ahlul Bayt and make them happy. If you are to make him happy, what we gain in return?
Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi's waqia comes into mind. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, you know, before he had Vilayat, he was a wrestler. And he was very famously known in Iraq, Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi, the great wrestler. Now, every year they would have a mela, they would have a party and people, and Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi would fight in that. Now, one day, when they had this mela, Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi was also there as well. And then this very old, you know, young lad, very skinny, you know, clothes torn, he came and he says that, oh Junaid, this year I'm going to challenge you. And people are there shocked that, you know, this person is no challenge to Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi. And as they were about to wrestle, the person, he went up to Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi and he says that, oh Junaid, I know you can throw me in the first bout on the floor. I am no challenge to you. But you know what? I am a Sayyid. I am a Sayyid. Yeah. And my family have been hungry for nearly 3 days. I don't have any money to buy food for them. If you lose this battle today, if you lose this wrestling match today, I can win this and I can get money for, and I can buy food for my family. And I in return will promise you that on the Day of Judgment, I will ask my grandfather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to intercede for you as well. And Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah, just imagine, you're in a position where you're the champion. Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah ta'ala is there thinking, what do I do? On one side, I'm the champion, and I've got to lose this match because for this Sayyid, what do I do? He's thinking about this. And when the fight starts, Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah ta'ala decides that he's going to lose the battle because he's going to make him the winner so he can feed his family. And that same night when Junaid Baghdadi, just imagine that humiliation. You know, people saying to him, oh, Junaid Baghdadi's lost the match. People talking behind his back. Now that same night he, rahmatullahi ta'ala, saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dream. And he says that, oh Junaid, you lost that fight only because of my son, my family. I promise you that humiliation you had today, I am going to give you such a reward that people will talk about you and I will make you the greatest wali of your own time. Mm-hmm. And Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala, as we know him today, he is also from the mashayikh of Huzur Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala. And you know, that is, you know, Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi ta'ala, because of respecting a Sayyid, Allah ta'ala gave him such a respect. You know, so if we have friends who are Sayyid, we know who is the Sayyid, okay, we can't give zakat to Sayyids, but at least we can give our help, our, you know, not even sadaqah as well. Our lillah, our hard-earned money, give it to the Sayyids and ask them to make dua. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, many problems of, you know, yours will be removed.
SubhanAllah. Islam, brothers and viewers of Madhid Channel, you're watching the silsila, the blessings of Sahaba and the blessings of Ahlul Bayt. What we've been talking about today is the Ahlul Bayt and who are the Ahlul Bayt and who are classed as the Ahlul Bayt. And we've been talking about the fazail and, you know, that the fact that the Ahlul Bayt are not just this panjtan, yeah, the five people that were covered, as you mentioned, Ustaz Sahib mentioned earlier on, the covered by the cloak, the blessed cloak of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he recited the ayat from the Quran about the purifying the family of the Ahlul Bayt. But in fact, that nisbah is carrying on today, and even today, all those people that are Sayyids, that claim to be Sayyids, they are the people that are from the nisbah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as such, we should respect them.
You mentioned Sayyids. Now, there's one thing is Sayyid, there's another thing which I mentioned before, Sharif. And I did say I'm going to come back to this, and now coming back to this. That we call them Sayyid, and in the Indo
Sayyid or Sayyid, what's the difference?
Sayyid means master. Sayyid.
Yeah,
it means my master. So Sayyidi is my master. So that's what we say, Sayyid.
Sayyid. But people call other people, yeah, Sayyid.
But Amir al-Sunnat, you know, he says that Sayyid is the proper pronunciation. Sayyid means someone who should follow.
Who should.
And Sayyid means someone who should be followed.
Indeed.
So they are the Sayyid, not the Sayyid. We are Sayyid.
We are.
And they are Sayyid.
We are Sayyid. And they'll be Sayyid.
Cheek.
You know, that's ek narabi hai na ke Sayyidi Murshidi. Sayyidi Murshidi. So, mazallah, people, you know, they say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's name. Halanki, that should not be the case. Mm-hmm. It should be Sayyidi Murshidi, Ya Nabi, Ya Nabi. I can remember Amir al-Sunnat, when someone...
Because just the way Sayyid is known as ism fa'il in Arabic, that it's the actor, the one who does the action. Sayyid is the one upon whom the action is done. So, Sayyid will be the one who deserves to be followed. Sayyid is the one who follows.
So, just to clarify,
so we are Sayyid.
We are Sayyid.
The one who follow.
Right. And the one that we taught, the people
and
that
the master
talking,
Sayyid.
Sayyid.
And similarly, Murshid is the one who gives guidance.
Okay.
Murshid is the one who is guided.
Achha.
So we are Murshid, we are not Murshid. We are talking about Sayyid. So this is one of the specialities of the Ahlul Bayt or the family of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That for any other individual, we'll call him by his name. I would say Hafiz of Pakistan, I would say Haji, these sort of things. Like Haji is a title. Similarly, the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been distinguished from every other lineage. Those of the Ahlul Bayt have been distinguished from the rest of the people. How? That for anybody else will call them by the name. But for a Sayyid will say Shah Sahib. In the Rasam Islam will say Bapu. They will say Sharif. This is what the Arabs use. They used to use the word Sharif. So all of these terms, subhanAllah, this itself is so great that for other people we could call them anything. But for Sayyid, we have a special term just for them. SubhanAllah. Now there was a person by the name, a king he was. 8th century, I think he was. A king of the 8th century. He was the king of Egypt. His name is Sha'ban ibn Hussein. Now, what he did was, because Junala, we have these terms to distinguish the Sayyids from the non-Sayyids. So he wanted to bring, that changes over time, doesn't it, with the change of the language, with the changing of the dialect. So what he wanted to do was, he wanted to keep some sort of alamat, some sort of sign, that Sayyids should all wear green imamah sharif. Subhanallah, green imam. The green imam.
Subhanallah.
So he.
That tells me. I just want to stop you there. Recently, you know, someone was an Arab person, and he goes, "Anta Sayyid? Are you a Sayyid?" And I said, "No, but because of the green imam."
This is other people.
Everything's falling into place.
This others have told me. I also asked Ustaz about this one. He told me that when I had people who call me Sharif or Sayyid and things like this. Why? Because this was a sign. For the Sayyids. But what later began to happen was everybody started wearing the green imamah sharif. So then that became redundant, didn't it? It was no longer a sign for the Sayyids. There was a person by the name of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Andalusi. And he criticized this king. He made this sign that the Sayyids should wear green imamahs. He criticizes him. But what he says is really beautiful. Really beautiful. He says, he writes some poetry about him. He says, جَعَلُوا لِأَبْنَاءِ النَّبِيِّ عَلَامًا, that they have made for the children or for the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they have made an alamat, a sign for the children. إِنَّ الْعَلَامَةَ شَأْنُ مَنْ لَمْ يَشْهَرْ, that a sign or a alamat is that for that person who is not famous. You only need, for example, if I was to say, go bring my book. I have a library of books. So how do you know which book I'm going to say is this is its name, or it's a green book with a green cover? Only that one which is not already apparent, which is not famous, only then people need a sign. Why are you giving a sign to the children of the Prophet ﷺ? He doesn't require for him to be wearing a green imamah for you to call him a Sayyid. Why he doesn't require any sign? Because they're the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're already famous, and just a light in their fame, in their faces, shows that they are from the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's why again, Ala Hazrat saying, "Teri nasle paak mein hai, bacha bacha noor ka. Tu hai ayn noor, tera sab gharana noor ka. Ta teri nasle da, your nasle, your lineage, paak, apyo." Bacha, bacha, every child, noor ka.
Teri nasle paak mein hai, bacha, bacha, noor ka. Teri nasle paak mein hai, bacha, bacha, noor ka. Tu hai ain noor, tera sab gharana noor ka.
And in the same way, Hazrat Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu is given the title of Zun-Nurain.
Allah.
Because he's married to the two blessed daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his title is Zun-Nurain.
Which means?
The possessor of two nurs.
MashaAllah. We mentioned the green Imam Sharif, and there's another beautiful point that Sheikh mentioned in his book regarding as to why did he choose the green Imam. He's saying these are the possible cases. He says, وَلَعَلَّ اِخْتِيَارَ هَذَا اللَّوْنِ كونه أفضل الألوان. That is possible that this Sha'ban ibn Hussein, that he chose this color green for the Imam Sharif, maybe because it's the best of colors. He says that this green is the best of colors. And then he says, وَكَوْنُهُ لَوْنَ الْحُلَّةِ أَلَّتِي يَكْسَاهَا فِي الْمَوْقَفِ نَبِيُّنَا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى اللَّهُ. Or he says he may have chosen this color because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, his clothes shall be of this color on the Day of Judgment. Oh, he says, "Oh, kunuhu lona siyabi ahl al-jannah." Oh, he may have chosen green because green shall be the clothing of the people of Jannah.
Subhanallah. Another greatness of the Ahlul Bayt is that we mention them in our salah as well.
Subhanallah.
And that's the greatness. Why? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad.
We do dua for them every
night. Kama sallayta ala Ibrahim. So, Alhamdulillah, Azawajal, we make dua for them. We recite. You know, a durood upon the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well.
My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madrid Channel, you're watching this silsila, the blessings of Sahaba and the blessings of Ahlul Bayt. And I have to pray to Allah that today we do, every day that you do watch the Madrid Channel, try and spend a certain amount of time sitting there. And inshallah, you will increase your knowledge of the deen. And one of the things I've learned by being in the mahal of Dawah Islami is that when you're out of the mahal, how little you learn, little you know. And, you know, when you come into the mahal, you realize that, you know, when you're out there, you think you know it. You think you've got enough knowledge. You think you've got the weapons to be able to empower yourself with that knowledge to be able to fight the whispers of the shaitan. But when you come into the beautiful mahal of Dawah Islami, then you realize that, look, I need to sort myself out of here. I need to learn these things. I've been making a lot of mistakes. Yeah. I need to acquire this knowledge of the deen. I need to empower myself with that knowledge so that I can use this knowledge to, you know, be successful not only in this world but in the hereafter as well. Coming back to the topic, the blessings or the fazail or the characteristics of the Ahlul Bayt, you mentioned earlier on that one of the special characteristics of the Ahlul Bayt is that zakat can be not the specialities of the
Ahlul Bayt. I did mention it, but yes.
Did you mention it? Did Hafiz Saab mention it? One of you mentioned it.
Zakat, literally you could say what it actually means is purification, to purify. Now, as I mentioned that zakat comes from purification, to purify. So when we are giving zakat, what are we doing? We are purifying our wealth. Which means that this zakat itself, this money which we are giving, this is the dirt of the wealth. Now, if it is the dirt of the wealth, then it cannot be given to somebody
Allahu
who is
Akbar.
So pure.
Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah.
Beautiful explanation. Subhanallah.
So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, not only himself but his family, as it has been promised to us in the Quran, are pure, and for this reason they cannot be given any zakat, because the zakat is considered to be the dirt of the wealth.
Peace be upon brothers and viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching the silsila, the blessings of Sahaba and the blessings of Ahlul Bayt. Talking about the specialities of the Ahlul Bayt, there's another speciality of the Ahlul Bayt, and it says that on the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that all relations and lineages shall be severed except for my relation and lineage. And he's referring to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, referring to the Day of Judgment. That on that day of judgment, apart from the relationship and the genealogy of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all relationships and all lineages shall be severed.
And because of this relationship, this lineage, and I'm sure Ustaz Sahab will confirm this, that Sayyidina Hazrat Umar, and you were talking about Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, that he, because he'd heard this, he requested that, you know, he be given as a marriage proposal. He proposed to the daughter of Sayyidina Hazrat Ali to marry her, because he said that, you know, he got on the pulpit and he said that all mediums, all lineages, and all relationships shall be severed on the day of judgment, except for my lineage and relationship. And he said because of this, Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu eventually accepted the proposal of Sayyidina Umar, and as a result, they married and they had a child and a daughter as well. Because this nisbat, he wanted, Sayyidina Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, he wanted to be part of this nisbat, and he realized the importance of this nisbat as well. Another speciality, and I don't know if you know the hadith, I've got it here in front of me, another speciality with regards to the Ahlul Bayt is that they will be the foremost people to enter paradise. They were the first people that will enter paradise. And it's narrated that Sayyidina Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he complained in the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in regards to those who were jealous of him. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, are you not happy that you are the fourth person out of four? The first person to enter paradise shall be me, you, and the Hasanain al-Karamain. My wives will be on the right and left, whilst my progeny shall be behind my blessed wives. So these, you know, the Ahlul Bayt, this is the, again, another status of them, that will, they will be the first people that will enter into paradise. And as such, you know, the people that are going to get the ultimate goal that we're all striving for, if these people are going to get that ultimate goal, then obviously we should respect them for
it. And again, you know, talking about the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Hadith Park, the mafhum is that an angel who never came to the world once came to me, and he was given the permission by Allah Ta'ala. And the only reason why he came to me was that he came to tell me about the status of Sayyida Fatima as being the queen, the princess of paradise. And then he told me about the status of Hazrat Imam Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma as being the princes of paradise. That is how, why only the angel has never come to the world, but the only reason why he has come is to give me the good news. So subhanAllah, this is the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those will be the leaders of paradise.
It's amazing. I think if we can take away from today that, and we've said it many, many times, that to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is part of our iman. And one thing we need to do is, as we keep on saying, is we need to have this knowledge and bring ourselves closer to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bring ourselves closer to the Ahlul Bayt, bring ourselves closer to the Sahaba, and inshaAllah will benefit from this. The silsila that we have today, the blessings of the Sahaba and the blessings of Ahlul Bayt, inshaAllah. Alhamdulillah, we spoke today about the blessings, the characteristics, the prayers of the Ahlul Bayt. And I pray to Allah that we can all learn from this and bring ourselves closer to that. And one of the ways to actually acquire this knowledge is to read the recitals that Amir al-Sunnah has written with regards to this. And also, keep on watching Madani Channel, where inshaAllah, similar topics like we have today. And inshaAllah, for the next 10 days, there'll be similar topics to this, which we'll discuss the blessings of the Sahaba and the blessings of Ahlul Bayt. Same time, same place. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Salam be upon the ones who sacrificed their lives at Karbala. Salam.